listeners around the world, thank you for tuning in to Afro Vibes Radio, broadcasting to you from Houston, Texas. You're now listening to Medicine for the People with me, your host, Dr. Susan A. Dionway. And as always, thank you for joining me. Well, the title of today's show is another medical hot topics show. And I like to do the show when there's a lot going on that I think you should hear about. Now, the reason why I have chose some of these topics today is because of a recent conversation I had actually over the weekend with some of my parents' friends. And, you know, my parents are from Nigeria, born and raised, came over here, you know, for advanced degrees and things like that. And I'm a Benin girl, so we were at an actual meeting, and there was an interesting discussion about why my grandparents, the parents of my parents, are living so long, whereas people who are my parents' age are dying so young. And one of the people there said, you know what? Back in the day, when our parents were young, they were walking everywhere. They had to walk here or had to walk there. You'd walk miles just to go to your friend's house, sit there and wait for your friend to come home, and then have to turn around and walk the same miles to go back. Now there are all these modern conveniences that keep people from being active. And diet, westernized diet. So I was listening, just sort of listening in to this conversation, and I found it very intriguing. And it's very true. I think over, you know, the last several years, there's been a lot of deaths that are unnecessarily occurring in, you know, people who are my parents' age, who are Nigerians, who are either in Nigeria or here. And it's very devastating when you hear another person who shouldn't have passed at such a young age has passed, you know, in their 60s or, you know, late 50s sometimes, whereas grandparents are in their 90s, some in their hundreds. The person who was sharing, he was saying that, you know, his mom is in her early 100s. And with the change in lifestyle, there is worry. He's worried. Will I make it to the same age she's making it to? I have a car. I have all these modern conveniences. I can get things at my fingertip. I have nothing that encourages me to walk for miles or to be active. So there is a lifestyle change and a lifestyle shift. And part of that, especially if you are somebody who is coming from another country, moving here, or if you are in, you know, Nigeria is developing quite fast. And Nigeria has, in some ways, you can be in Nigeria and see that there is an adoption of Western food. You know, spaghetti, hot dogs, hamburgers, a lot of these Western foods. You don't have to come here to the United States. People in Nigeria are eating these foods with the advent of the internet and the fact that we're all connected and you can see what somebody's eating, going, doing, thinking on the other side of the world. It allows for cultures to spread much quickly. And one of the things that you tend to see, especially in Nigerian communities and in the Nigerian society, is there is a level of eliteness that comes along with going abroad. And if you are from Nigeria, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when, you know, somebody comes back to Nigeria and they've been abroad, all of a sudden they're just a little bit more brand new, right? The attitude and everything changes to indicate, ah, I am now set apart from you guys as I have been abroad. And aside from that, there is a preconceived notion of what abroad is, what it means to be coming from the US or America, and what sorts of things you have access to and what you eat and what you do. So you're seeing this adoption of westernized culture readily in other parts. Now, the problem is, especially when it comes to westernized culture, is westernized diet. And in this conversation we were having on Sunday that I was listening to people who are my parents' age kind of talk about what they have noticed about their length, longevity of life, and the societal things that are playing into that, and the discussion of diet came up. There was recognition that, you know, the food that we're also eating isn't helping. It's not helping. Before, you know, living in Nigeria has a lot of resources, a lot of very mineral-laden foods, very good food, good quality foods. Before, you know, having a lot of activity in your life and access to these really healthy, good quality foods. I mean, that was a recipe for longevity of life. Now, again, here in a westernized diet, westernized world, you're dealing with more processed foods. So medical hot topics today has a food related theme. Now, aside from this backstory, why else did I choose a food related theme? So for those of you who may follow me on Instagram or who may not, I am doing a lifestyle cleanup. And one of the things that I've focused on is cleaning up my diet. Now, my backstory, when you are going in through medicine and you're doing a lot of training, it is very easy to fall into bad habits, especially when you don't have time. There's not enough time to cook. You know, there, I would study 12 hours in a day. There'd be times where I woke up early in the morning, I'd go to a location, study, maybe take a break for lunch, you know, a few minutes, maybe an hour, go back to my table and study until wherever I was at closed. So you don't feel like you have time to cook and meal prep and eat healthy, even though I should have been doing those things. In my mind, all the free time I could possibly have, I felt had to go to my studies. As a result, you build bad behaviors, and I definitely did. You're looking for convenient foods, things I can eat really quickly. Unfortunately, a lot of the convenient foods that you pick up, that I picked up, that are out there, are processed, highly processed foods, foods that aren't good for you, foods that aren't high in fiber. And so what happens? That takes a toll on your body. And on top of it, you're, you know, my training, at least in medicine, and this does not apply only to medicine. There are people who are lawyers or people who have really highly stressful jobs, even teachers. Let me tell you, my teachers are probably some of the most stressed people that I see. There are jobs and life situations that take away your energy from really devoting time to eating right and sleeping on time and having a healthy lifestyle. So all of that to say, I decided this year to really fine-tune my eating habits and really clean things up and really focus on vegan and vegetarian dishes. And one of the things that definitely helped me get to this point where I said to myself, enough is enough. I am done with the sweets. I am done with all these foods that make me feel so bad. In part, it was because I kept feeling so bad. But the other part of it was I kept hearing so much bad about the things that I was eating. I kept hearing like, oh man, this thing is now believed to cause cancer. Oh man, this thing isn't, you know, good for you because of this. This thing I'm eating may increase heart risk. The more you hear how bad the food is that you are eating, the more that point gets driven home and driven home and driven home. At some point, you're going to say, I know, this stuff isn't good. And then you're going to really start to pay attention. Well, how does it make me feel? You know what? They say when you eat all these sugary foods, you feel tired. I sure do. They say when you drink all these drinks that you're gaining weight, man, I can see that I'm gaining it. They say when you're eating these different things that you may have blood pressure issues. My blood pressure is creeping up. So you start to hear these things and then you really start. If you're somebody who cares about yourself, right? You care about your life. You care about extending your life. It's going to start to wear at you. And that's what happened with me. Maybe it's because I was in a medical space and so more medical information was disseminated around me. But it came a certain point where I was like, I can't hear any more about how bad this food is that I'm eating. I cannot. I hear it everywhere I turn. Everywhere you turn, there's something new coming out. And there's something new saying, this is going to give you cancer. This may increase your risk of heart disease. This may increase your risk of stroke. All from food. And then mixed with how I was feeling, that was what tipped me over the edge and made me say, you know what? Enough is enough. And I'm definitely going to do this. So I am doing this food-related medical hot topic show to do the same thing to you guys that was done to me, systematically degrading your interest in continuing to eat processed foods and systematically encouraging you to really take a step back and sit down and have a heart-to-heart with yourself and say, self, how well am I eating? Do I really understand, self, do I really understand how serious what I'm eating is for my life? Take a look, if you have children, take a look at your kids and your husband and or your wife and your job and the things you love about your life. and say to yourself, okay, if I am eating things that now I have been told over and over in so many ways that it can compromise my ability to be here a few more years with my kids, to be here a few more years with my husband, you know, not just past in my 60s, but to be there for a good bit of their lives, to be, you know, to be active and enjoying my job and enjoying my life. When you take that step back and you really think about those things, wouldn't you want the answer to be, you know what? I want to do everything to protect my life, extend my life, improve my life, protect the length of life I have to spend with my kids and my family and so on and so forth. And if that's you, if you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? Yeah, that's what I want. Then one of the things I would implore you, and I have implored you in different shows, is you got to start taking a surveillance of your life, including what are you eating? Because one of the things that I've gathered with all this information that keeps coming out, the more and more I hear it, the more and more I realize, whoa, this is serious. This is very, very serious. We tend to eat a lot of these processed foods and not focus on how serious these foods are that are going into our mouths and into our bodies, because we're more so focused on how good they taste. We're focused on, oh, this tastes good. I love this. It makes me feel happy. We're focused on the feeling, the immediate gratification of what we get when we eat these foods. Immediately, I feel satisfied. I feel happy. And we forget about the delays, delayed feelings, the feelings of cramping and bloating and heartburn and sluggishness and tiredness. And we forget about those things, but we even forget more about the longer term. The high blood pressure, the heart disease, the possible stroke. A lot of this stuff is out of sight, out of mind for most of us. We don't care because it's not immediately in our vicinity. It's not immediate gratification that, you know, or an immediate response that we can bear in mind or keep in mind when we eat these things. But I implore you today to turn that thinking around. Even though, yes, there is this nice, satisfying, immediate feeling of pleasure when you eat these bad foods, I would implore you, your mind should really be focused on the long term. Because the problem is, the long term is what's hard to fix and change. And once the long term consequences become actualized, it's almost too late. And that's what people don't understand. When we're talking about eat better, eat better, eat better, and it doesn't matter where you are, because we're seeing trends around the world of increase in obesity because of adoption of westernized and processed foods. So it does not matter where you are. If you're in the United States, trust and believe, the United States is amongst the worst of this. If you are in other countries, trust and believe, there is a trend. So stay aware. But it doesn't matter where you are. Once these consequences become actualized because of all these westernized foods, it is too late. So we need to shift our thinking. That's all this to say, this is again the point of this show and the point of today's show and shows in the future and previous shows. As I continue to harp, and I hope it's not nag, I hope some of you aren't taking this as nagging, but as I continue to impress upon you how serious this is, I hope this, as you tune in every week, and I hope maybe you feel a little guilted when you're hearing me talk about these things, because I felt guilted when I was hearing more and more and saying, I should know better. Once these consequences happen of diseases, it's going to be too late. I should know better. I need to act now. The more and more I heard it, the more I did something about it. So I hope this is the same for you. And when you tune in each time, I hope that you don't take it as lecturing, but you take it as a plea for you to intervene while you can. And it's not for me, and it's not for anybody else, but it's really for yourself. Intervene while you can. You know, one of the things that I participated in again over the weekend, I'm very busy on the weekends, was a tax workshop. So I'm a part of an organization, the Association of Nigerian Physicians, and we did a tax workshop. And one of the issues that I noticed was the fact that a lot of the young doctors weren't really there. We had, you know, a fairly decent turnout, but a comment was made about how because the younger providers and doctors, they're just barely starting out. They're not thinking about retirement and building a nest egg and, you know, generational wealth. They're just trying to get their feet in the door, make sure they fall somewhere appropriate so they can actually build a life and career. But what they don't realize is that the earlier you can set yourself up for success, the better you do in the long run. And when it comes time to retire and say, do I have that money that I can retire and not have to live off of my work for the rest of my life? It's these people who right out the gate, right when they start planning for the future and preparing for the future. But again, it's a mindset shift. And right now, because, you know, these people are just starting working, it's out of sight, out of mind. I'll do it when I'm in my 60s. Ooh, by that time, you only have a few years left. I'll do it once things really, you know, once I got the time. Well, life gets in the way. And before you know it, you're 65, it's time to retire, and you haven't made a solid plan. And that's the same thing that we see with lifestyle changes and food. Do not let this information fall on deaf ears. I went on a little bit of a rant, but I really, really, really wanted to stress this to you guys, why I am doing this show, why I choose the topics that I choose, and why some of them, I reiterate them over and over. We're about to cut to a break, but when we return, we will finally get into the food-related hot medical topics of today. Stay tuned.
Your favorite radio station. This is AfroVibes Radio Houston.
Back to the show. Before we went on break, I went on a little bit of a rant about why this show and the things that we're talking about is so important. But I do want to get into today's medical topics. And as I said at the first part of the show, these are food related. So the first hot medical topic for today, did you know, and this was in Medical News Today, studies have just shown that processed foods lead to weight gain, but it's more than just calories. And that's the title of this most recent study. And the thing that the authors are trying to show in here, we know that if you eat these processed foods, that it can cause you to gain weight. But one, what we didn't know is how quickly it could cause you to gain weight. And it's not just calories. It's not just the fact that these foods are high in calories that are leading to your weight gain. So with this study, one of the things it's emphasized is, again, we know that through my studies mainly that processed foods can lead to obesity and intestinal inflammation. But mice aren't people. And so critics against this, mainly food company folks, have been pushing back. Well, in humans, researchers have recently reported more associations between processed foods and health outcomes. So now we know, not just in mice, but in humans, that there's an increased risk of developing obesity, cancer, autoimmune disorders, and even death. Yet here's the kicker. Ultra-processed foods make up 57.9% of energy intake in the United States. 57.9% of what people are eating comes from ultra-processed foods. So it's like the information is out there, but people aren't grasping onto it. So what is ultra-processed foods to begin with? These include soft drinks, packaged snacks, meat nuggets, frozen meals, and foods that are high in additives and low in unprocessed, fresh, whole ingredients. Going back to what I said when I was in med school, I think part of it is lifestyle. We are becoming very, very, very busy, overworked, and not given enough time a lot of times in everything that we're doing, every sort of profession and field, to really have time to build healthy lives. So I think lifestyle is, and some of it forced upon us, is part of this. Now, previous studies have, again, found the correlation between ultra foods and obesity. So in this most recent study, what was done is a research team, they recruited 10 healthy males and females, and they did a 28-day trial, and they split these folks into two groups. One group ate the ultra processed foods for 2 weeks, while the other received unprocessed foods. And then after 2 weeks, the group switched. So the first group that was eating ultra-processed, they switched to an unprocessed diet and vice versa. And these volunteers ate 3 meals a day, And the researchers asked them to eat as little or as much as they wanted. They had access to all the snacks and bottled water and everything that they wanted all day. So now what they thought that the folks that were eating the ultra processed foods, that it would lead to more calories in, you know, being taken in, because obviously these foods are higher in fat and sugar and salt and all these different things, and low in fiber, which fiber makes you more full. So they thought, okay, the group that's eating the ultra processed stuff, we're going to see more fat and sugar and salt intake in these folks. Now, what they found and what they were surprised by was the fact that the volunteers who were on the ultra-processed diet, they ate an average of 500 or so more calories each day than when they were on the unprocessed diet. And as a result, they gained an average of 2 pounds during the first few weeks, mostly in the form of body fat. Now, here's the thing that confused them is that they tried to match both the unprocessed and the processed diets in terms of, you know, match them with the amount of sugars and fats and carbs and proteins and sodium that both the participants were getting. Meaning, even though one group was eating processed food and the other unprocessed, the number of sugars, the number of fats, the number of carbs in both the processed and the unprocessed food diets were supposed to be matched. And so the thought was, well, if the people eating processed sugar, let's say, you know, for the sake of numbers, let's say the first group, they were eating 72 grams of processed sugar with each meal, and the unprocessed group, they were eating 72 grams of unprocessed sugar with their meals. The thought was, well, both groups are eating 72 grams of sugar, so in theory, it should balance out what we see in terms of, you know, the outcome. But they were surprised that the people who were eating the processed versions of these sugars and fats and proteins were gaining weight. And participants in the unprocessed food group lost an average of 0.9 kilograms during the first 2 weeks of the study. So the quality matters. That was the whole goal. That's the whole point of the study, is that the quality of these sources of food does matter. It's not just a numerical game, which sometimes you'll see when people talk about, oh, as long as you burn the calories, it doesn't matter what kind you eat. But actually, it does matter. The quality of the calories of food that we're taking in and the substances of the food we're taking in does matter. Now, something interesting in this article, if the foods were supposed to be quote unquote balanced numerically for the fats and sugars and proteins, yada, yada, what is in the processed foods that made people gain more weight? And aside from the actual other chemicals and things in the food, one of the things that this article talks about is the fact that it may have to do with the speed at which people ate in terms of the people who are eating the processed foods. In fact, the people that were in the processed group of the processed diet group, they consumed an extra 17 calories, which is about 7.4 grams of food per minute, than their counterparts in the unprocessed food group. Now, they postulated that it may have something to do with the texture or the sensory properties that processed foods have. But I would argue, to me, the most obvious reason is processed foods do not have fiber, not nearly the good kind of fiber that you see with unprocessed food. And what does fiber do for you? Fiber makes you full. And if you're eating fiber with each bite, that's going to slow down your eating. That's what I believe. But again, this just shows you that quality matters. And even if it's the same numerical value of fats, sugars, and carbs, the quality of it, where is it coming from, can still impact your diet. On to medical hot topic number 2. We did just speak about fiber, and this medical hot topic is exactly about fiber. So this medical hot topic about fiber just came out this year, and it's also in Medical News Today. And the study reveals how much fiber we should eat to prevent disease. And so this study that just came out is a meta-analysis, and I've said meta-analysis before. Meta-analysis studies are studies that pull a bunch of other studies together. Like, let's say, it looks at 50 studies that were performed. It groups all of the data from all these 50 studies. It looks for patterns, and then it proposes ideas based off of an accumulation of what was seen over 50 studies. So this meta-analysis looked at 40 years worth of research in attempt to find the ideal amount of fiber that we should consume to prevent chronic disease and premature mortality, which I think is awesome. We have sort of this daily recommended amount of fiber, but there's always a question, when people look at the food groups and how many fiber sources you're supposed to have, that we have our daily recommended values, but there's always a question of how valid is that? How do we know that that actually is going to prevent disease? And so that's why there is still this question. And this study was prompted by the World Health Organization. And, the World Health Organization looks at medicine all over the world and diets all over the world. So this study actually has an impact for everyone around the world. And this research was aimed to help develop new guidelines for dietary fiber consumption, because right now we're not so sure about the old ones. And not only that, it was supposed to reveal which carbs, not just how many, but which ones were the most protective against heart disease and which ones were better at reducing weight gain. So this is huge, because these recommendations are going to start making their way through all sorts of medical classrooms, medical fields, dietitians and dietary classrooms and fields. These are going to be recommendations that people are going to be hearing. So the diseases that they were most interested in terms of the link between how much fiber you should be taking versus a favorable outcome in reducing certain non-communicable chronic diseases. The diseases that they were particularly looking at: heart disease, cancer, chronic lung disease, and diabetes. These are the top four that really impact so many people. And they were able to pull in a lot of data. In fact, the researchers looked at, with all this meta-analysis, they were able to look at 185 studies, which amounted to 135 million person years. So that's 58 clinical trials were noted there, and these trials essentially recruited over 46,000 people, over 4,600 people. So this was the substance of the work that they were looking at. And what did they find? What did they find? The research found that people who consume the most fiber in their diet are 15 to 30% less likely to die prematurely from heart disease compared to those who eat the least amount of fiber. The research also found consuming fiber-rich foods correlated with a 16 to 24% lower incidence of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, or colon cancer. Fiber-rich foods include whole grain foods, vegetables, fruits, pulses, which are peas and beans and lentils and chickpeas. Those are, I guess, collectively called pulses, P-U-L-S-E-S, which I did not know. But eating these kinds of foods are what we're talking about when it comes to fiber sources. The analysis also revealed that the amount of fiber that people would consume, or should consume rather, to get these benefits is between 25 to 29 grams of fiber per day. In the United States, do you know, by comparison, adults in the U.S. are consuming only 15 grams of fiber a day on average, or less. So this study says we should be consuming 25 to 29 grams daily. One of the things I have made a habit to do, anything I buy, especially if it is if it's not a fruit or a vegetable and it's a boxed or packaged item, I make it a habit to look at the nutritional label. And one of the things I look for, aside from, I always look at how many calories are in this food. I always look at how much fat is in this food. I look at the ingredients list. Now, some people say, like, if sugars and all kinds of things are within the first five ingredients. It's bad for you. So I do my own little analysis of the list of ingredients and look at the first few. And then sometimes I read all of them. But one of the other things that I always look at is fiber. And it'll tell you how much dietary fiber is in the food that you're eating. So anything that has a food label on it, this is not rocket science. You can go there, you can look at the label and see how much fiber you're eating. And let me tell you, there have been times I have been surprised. I've picked up something that says multigrain, yada, yada. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be packed with fiber. My body likes fiber. It makes me more regular. I have no problem sharing that with you. But I'll pick up a packaged item. I'll look at the label and it'll say, ooh, fiber, multigrain, whole grain. You look at the back and you're thinking you're going to see a lot of fiber, and it's like 2% or 1% of your daily value. Shocking. So don't be fooled. This is very important that you are getting 25 to 29 grams of fiber. Look at the back of your food labels and be sure that the foods that you're thinking are giving you fiber are actually giving you fiber. One of the things I have done is I have switched from traditional spaghetti and pastas, and I've gone to spaghetti made from quinoa, or there are some lentil spaghettis and pasta. So it's like chickpeas or lentils that are ground into a flour and used to make pastas. If you look at the back of those, they're heavy laden with fiber, which tells you, again, the peas, the beans, the lentils, the chickpeas, super high in fiber. The pastas that are made from these flours, every time I look at them, two servings, in one of them I have, that's one of my favorites, in two servings, which is half a cup. So if I make one cup of pasta, I have gotten literally 100% of my fiber for the day. And that's just from one meal. So I know, and I purposely look for sources of fiber that I can increase the, good sources of fiber that my gut needs and my blood sugar control needs. So again, stress to you. You should be aiming for 25 to 29 grams of fiber. And authors also suggest that consuming more than 29 grams of fiber per day may yield even more health benefits that we're not even fully aware of. And we know fiber is very good for you. That's a given. It helps regulate blood sugar. It helps with your gut health, and it helps control your weight by helping with satiety. It helps control or influence your lipid levels, your glucose levels. Your body definitely needs fiber. Even the microbacteria in your body benefits from the fibers that it breaks down. So, Fiber, 25 to 29 grams is as of this year, hot off the presses, the new recommendation for how much fiber you should be taking. And on to our last medical topic, as we are running out of time, and my rant at the beginning of the show probably ate from that time. Our last medical topic is, researchers have found that the food additives, and one in particular, that is commonly in a lot of foods that we eat, a lot of processed foods that we eat, this common food additive may fuel weight gain and diabetes. Again, the theme of today's show, I really want to impress upon you guys, what you eat is so important. What you eat is so important. So this study, this was just published this year as of April, and there is a concern for a very popular food additive. And this food additive is a mainstay of Western diets. And this is literally what the article says. It is a mainstay in Western diets. And now this new research shows that it has the ability to alter sugar metabolism, the way we break down sugars, and it may drive insulin resistance. And so what that means is when you mess with sugar, our ability to break down sugar, and you mess with the insulin levels, you are pushing somebody towards diabetes. And again, in the United States, let's be real, the Western diet is killing us. That is a bold statement, and it's a true statement. Obesity and type 2 diabetes have reached epidemic levels, like greatest of all time. Nearly 40% of adults in the U.S. are classified as either obese, overweight, one or the other. As of 2015, and 9.4% of people are living with diabetes, and this number continues to grow. Eating a Western diet really is probably the biggest risk factor for early issues. And a Western diet, meaning Western diets are heavy with the processed foods. We talked about earlier what processed foods can do. But the chemical, this additive that is in a lot of Western processed foods, is an anti-mold agent called propionate. P-R-O-P-I-O-N-A-T-E. And it's a short-chain fatty acid that bacteria in our gut produce naturally. Now, as a preservative, when it's produced chemically, its other name is E282. And it features as a common food additive, mainly in bread and baked goods where there is moisture as well as sugars. And you know, where there's moisture and sugar, there's always a risk of mold. And so that's why this additive is there. Now, this propionate may be added to a host of other things too, which is the kicker. It's found in breakfast cereals. Shocking. As a side note, breakfast cereals I used to think was very healthy. You know, we're ingrained to think, oh, cereal is good for you. I'm learning a little bit that cereals may not be all that good for you. But this additive is in breakfast cereals. It's in dairy and egg-based desserts. It is in sausage casings. It's in processed cheese. It's even in sports drinks. And research done out of Harvard made the surprising discovery when they studied the effects of propionate, not just in mice, but also in human beings. And so what does propionate do? We find that, one, it leads to high blood sugar. And this was a mouse study that showed that it led to high blood sugar in mice. And researchers found that it activated the sympathetic nervous system, which led to increased levels of norepinephrine, increased hormone levels of glucagon and other things that impact the liver and cause the liver to produce more glucose. And in turn, this led to higher levels of insulin in the blood because the liver is making more glucose. And so that's really a disaster. It's a recipe for disaster because when you lead to high levels of insulin, then that leads to insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is a hallmark of type 2 diabetes. The other thing, propionate disturbs metabolism in humans. And so another study showed when looking at participants who ate a meal containing 500 calories supplemented with this additive, that those who had the additive versus the group in the same study that had the similar meal without the additive, those that had the additive, there was a significant amount of effect on the glucose metabolism, similar to what was found in mice. Some of those hormones that led to the liver making sugar and leading to increased blood sugar, thus increased insulin, and then increased insulin resistance, which is a hallmark of diabetes. They saw this hormone change happening in human beings. So, what does that tell you? Again, mission against processed food was the theme of today. But what you are what you eat. It's a saying that we have all said at one time or another, but it's never been more true, especially in this day and age. That's all the time we have for today's show. I hope this show, now again, I don't want to nag you. I don't want to, you know, discourage you, but I do want to guilt you a little bit into doing a surveillance and taking this very seriously, because I've said this on other shows. It's the hardest thing to look at a dying patient, a sick patient, and know full on well that this could have been prevented. And right now, for many of us who are young or we've got other things going on, it's out of sight, out of mind. But I encourage you, bring it back into the forefront of your mind and be very intentional with protecting your health. That's all the time we have for today's show. As always, I'd love to hear from you. You can go to AfroVibesRadio.com and send a message via that. You can go to Medicine for the People on Facebook and send me a message. And lastly, follow me on Instagram, the_dr_Susan, SUSAN_ADIONWE. See what shenanigans I get into. But until next time, stay healthy and stay informed.